Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. Marty and I are having a fine old time here this evening, and there's Olga who has joined us. Hi, Olga. And we're really thrilled that you guys could be here with us because we're continuing with our month of Thanksgiving here in November, and we've been thankful for our pets, and we have been thankful for our vets, and tonight we are going to be thankful for our responsible pet owners, because people who take care of their pets and do all the work to be responsible pet owners are our heroes, and we want to give you guys a shout out, talk about ways that you can help your friends and family be better pet owners if they have questions. And we also have a really important one of the things that we've done this month is for our month of giving, offer you guys some suggestions about nonprofits that we really suggest and recommend and support. And we thought, in honor of our responsible pet owners who will go without food themselves so that their pets don't go hungry, and in this really rough time that we're all living through right now, it's a really messed up timeline, guys. We would like to introduce you to a nonprofit called No Pet Hungry America. And it is a very simple website. We'll drop the link in our show notes, nopethungryamerica.com. And you can give to help a needy pet, or you can ask for help yourself. And you don't have to make a big production. Nobody has to know. But there's no reason for you or your pets to be hungry. So we just wanted to reach out with that particular message and that particular nonprofit because we feel so strongly about it. And we know that people will go hungry instead of their pets. So
right. But you should also mention that you do know the people personally that are running the program. So it's not some...
This is not a mythical beast. This is a very close personal friend of mine. Her name is Nancy Martin. Her husband's an AKC judge. I have known them for a million years. She runs a physical pet food bank outside of Portland, Oregon called Phyto. And she is actively involved in making sure that there are no hungry pets. She works with a lot of AKC breeders and purebred dog people, but she will help anyone, literally anyone. I've been to her warehouse. It is enormous. And her ability to maximize people's donations because of her connections is truly amazing. Nancy Martin herself, we had out by my area some really horrible wildfires a few years ago. And Nancy Martin made sure that we all had all the pet supplies that we needed to stock the place where people went to escape from the fire, the shelter that we had for people and their pets. She donated hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of dog food for that. So, like I say, No Pet Hungry America. Check it out. If you or anyone you know is in need, or if you want to give to someone to help them.
For sure. For sure, it's a great organization.
It is. Great people doing God's work. So that is our suggestion for this week in our month of giving thanks and giving to other people. So let's talk about our responsible pet owners. The American Kennel Club actually has a Responsible Dog Owner Day. It's in September every year. But I think that it's something that we wanted to do to really shout out to those people that will always go above and beyond for their pets.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to manage how you feed yourself and how you feed your dogs. I am constantly amazed by the number of people that think that the best buy date on a package of food means it goes in the garbage. Mm. And best buy means it might not have quite the same quality. But I will tell you, I go to my local grocery store every week and I pick up three to four large boxes of food that we then use for the dogs, for my staff members that have rabbits and chickens and goats and llamas and all those things. And some of the food is, of course, substandard, but some of it is really not. And I'm sort of the queen of, let's see what we can do. Like a gallon of milk that expired yesterday, if you open it and drink it in a fairly short period of time, a dozen eggs, it doesn't just suddenly go bad in your refrigerator. And there's a huge amount of waste in the United States of food, and it's a real tragedy that somewhere between 30 and 40% of the food that's produced gets thrown out because it wasn't eaten, because it went bad, because you didn't store it correctly, because of a lot of things. Now, I'm a food safety Nazi, because I don't think anybody should be unsafe about what they eat. But I mean, I went to vet school. We learned a lot about food safety in veterinary school. But I think it's really important that people realize that a best by date doesn't necessarily mean that it goes in the trash. And I think that it's important that you know where those parts of your grocery store are, so that if you are marginally able to feed yourself and your pets, that there are places in your grocery store. I found this section at Walmart. I always know where it is. I know where it is in my local grocery store. And you can really do remarkable things with not taking any risk, but being smart about how you
use your food. They have markdown shelves in all of the stores. And I guess we can do one more shameless plug. If any of our people who are listening have their own food insecurity or are trying to figure out how to make $50 last for a lot longer than it should have to, I personally have a Facebook page called Auntie Laura's. It's just Auntie Laura on Facebook. And it is, I don't know, at this point, probably 10 years worth of collections of recipes of fresh, fast, whole food and how to make a $10 chicken last for a week. So that kind of stuff.
Right. Or the $5 chicken if you go to Costco. So yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
I buy the uncooked one. I don't buy the pre-cooked. It's a thing. So lots and lots of opportunities and options for folks. And I think the part that I was thinking about when we were kind of getting ready for this segment tonight, the owners who have veterinary pet medical insurance, or the owners who use care credit, or the owners who take care of their animals before they even take care of themselves. And so I just wanted to really kind of talk about that a little bit, some ways that maybe we can help them manage that. I mean, you see these clients every day.
Yeah, we do. So yes, there's a lot of things that we can do. I think one of the things that a lot of people have as a misconception with their veterinarian is that regular care costs money. And in reality, if you do your regular preventive care, whether it's vaccines or flea and tick preventives or heartworm preventive, in the long run, that actually will save you money. And there are ways that you can be cost effective with your veterinarian if you're willing to have the conversation with your vet, your receptionist, your vet tech. They're willing to work with you. They're not necessarily only going to give you the option of spending the most amount of money that you possibly can, because many of them are very interested in providing you with great care. And I think if you have those conversations and you say, well, you know, I can't afford this flea and tick preventive, but is there another alternative? They're really quite willing to help you make your dollars go as far as they possibly can, because preventing disease is always better than treating it.
Yes, 100%. So step number one, do preventive stuff.
Right. Don't go into the emergency clinic when you don't need to. You know, use common sense. If you've got something that's truly ghastly, then you have to go in, yes. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you can call your veterinary clinic. They can make arrangements to get you in. It may not be the exact perfect time for you, but you have to kind of be flexible. And, you know, you just have to use some good common sense. If you have a little bit of an ear infection, you go in before it turns into a disaster. If you have a little bit of diarrhea, you go in before it turns into a disaster. Or at least you call the veterinary clinic. And if you have a good relationship with them, they're going to be willing to help you work through some of these things without spending a gajillion dollars. So you have to be really upfront and honest with your veterinarian about what you can afford, what you can't afford, what's important to you. And we do have to make important choices. They have to be thought out and considerable, but there isn't only the gold standard. You can say, okay, well, we have plan A, but we also have plan B and plan C.
Right. And, you know, responsible dog owners are not all of us giving up our own breakfast so the dog can go to the vet, right? There's a lot of responsible dog owners that spend quite an enormous amount of money on their pets and time. And I think that that is another piece that we can talk about, right? It's not just taking your pet to the vet. It is the time you spend with them upside down on the chair. I can just see Olga's back foot.
Right. It may be that you don't stop at Starbucks every day.
Yeah.
And you get the dollar coffee instead of the $7 coffee. And it's amazing how fast things like that can add up. That you go home and you peel a potato or you cook rice for yourself, for your dog, so that you're not when you stop and buy fast food and you stop and buy prepared food at the grocery store, it's a very expensive way to eat. If I shop the perimeter of my grocery store, the fruits and vegetables, the bakery, and then I have this one weakness, pasta, that I have to go down one aisle in the middle of the store. But that's the only aisle I go down, because otherwise everything I need is on the outside of the, it's yeah. the dairy, it's the bread, it's the meat, it's the produce. So think about how you're spending your money, and then you can divert some of those funds to feed your pet better, to feed your pet at all, to feed yourself better. So there's a lot of aspects to this that people have forgotten about. There's also companies.
That's what Auntie Laura is all about.
There's a company called Misfit Foods, and I think there's a second one out
there. Yes, there's several.
They have.
I love they have Misfit Foods.
Yeah, they have ugly apples.
Imperfect Foods. Imperfect Foods.
Yeah, Imperfect Foods. That's the other one, right. And they don't have pretty apples, or they don't have pretty peppers, but nutritionally, they're absolutely fine. And there's a lot of fruits and vegetables you can feed your dogs, a lot of meat sources you can feed your dogs. Now, you shouldn't exceed more than 10% of their diet as those kinds of foods. It should be 90% kibble if you can do it. But if you can't, then you figure out a way to make it work. And, you know, cats have to have meat. We know cats are obligate carnivores. Dogs, we have a little bit more flexibility with. But things like raw meat diets and the fresh pets and the fresh foods, they're very expensive ways to feed your pet. We have much better choices that are economical.
Yeah. So feeding our pets, taking our pets and doing preventative work, training, even if you're doing trick training, right? So our responsible pet owners are working with their pets every day, some little bit, right? Maybe you've taught your pet to retrieve the slipper. Maybe you taught your cat to retrieve a ball. Who knows? I'm told cats retrieve things. I don't know.
They do. I know. You're the cat person.
I'm not. You're the cat person. You're the only one in charge of cats. So let's talk a little bit about the ways that we can be grateful that our responsible pet owners are spending that time with their dogs. The dogs that walk on a leash, all of those things.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's picking up after your dog. It's being responsible. It's 5 minutes of training 3 times a day. Makes a huge impact in their behavior, in the way that they are responsive to you, responsive to veterinary clinics. And I think it's really important that people, when they are working with veterinarians, realize, and I was just at a meeting and this was actually said by a speaker. She said, you know, as veterinary staff, veterinarians, veterinary team members, we don't drink enough during the day. Right. We don't eat during the day. We don't go to the bathroom.
Water, you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, consume any kind of bodily fluid that would be appropriate, not alcohol. So we don't eat, we don't drink, we don't go to the bathroom. And if you don't eat and you don't drink, you don't have to go to the bathroom as often, because veterinary clinics often are so busy, you right. don't have time to drink, you don't have time to eat, and you don't have time to go to the bathroom. Now, what are the three reasons that people come in for their pets for? They're not eating, they're not drinking. Yeah. And they're not taking care of their bodily functions. And so she kind of laughed about this parallel of what are veterinarians and veterinary staff doing that, wait, what? We're not taking care of ourselves. And so when you do go to the veterinary clinic, when you do call on the phone if they're busy and they have to put you on hold, you do have to wait 10 minutes in the exam room. Be nice. Be polite.
Always
the veterinary staff is not off having a long coffee break or a long lunch break.
About this in our Be Thankful for Your Vets department.
Yes. Heaven help us. Let them have a drink of water and let them go to the toilet because they really are going to function better. Mm-hmm. And don't expect them to work from 7 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night and be reasonable people unless you give them some support and that you're kind and you're polite.
I just don't expect them to work for 15-hour days for 40 years in a row. I mean, that's just not a thing.
No, because it is a thing and it does wear you out. I have firsthand experience with that. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
So, 3 5-minute training sessions a day, doing fun little things, great responsible pet owner opportunity. Also, our responsible pet owners are doing great work socializing their pets so that if they come visit you at the clinic, they're not terrified because they've been other places and seen things and done stuff.
Right. And you can teach them some basic skills. You can teach them to have their mouth looked at. You can teach them to have their ears touched and their toenails touched. Karen Overall is a behaviorist, and she has taught some amazing things to dogs. If you have a dog that may potentially be difficult at the veterinary clinic, muzzle train your dog so that when they see a muzzle, they stick their nose into it and look for the treat. They don't back away and try to pull it off. She's absolutely brilliant when it comes to training. She has taught her dogs, and she has a video of this. You can go on YouTube, Karen Overall, and you can watch her teach her dog to hold its breath. Now, what's the value of holding your breath if you're a dog? When you take an x-ray, you don't have to be sedated. They lay you on the table. You teach the dog to hold their breath. And you can watch these videos and teach your dog this. You can do all these things. And they're simple. And, you know, YouTube videos are free. So do these things because you are going to save yourself money. If your dog goes in and says, sure, you can suture up the bottom of my foot. Sure, you can take my x-ray. Sure, you can palpate my abdomen. And you don't have to cause any big commotion. You don't have to have medications to make that happen. So there's a lot of things that you can do with some very basic, simple training techniques. If you spend 15 minutes a day in 5-minute increments, your dogs can be brilliant at the veterinary clinic. If they allow you to come in for happy pet visits,
yes,
take the time to do it. It will make your life better. It will make your pet's life better. And no one wants to have a dog that fights us. No one wants a cat that's unhappy.
Right.
We all want the same things that you do, and that's happy pets, healthy pets, pets that cooperate at the veterinary clinic, and just in general, great
and that
health.
Are just basically good citizens of the world. It's not just the vet clinic, right? Like, ooh, they're out in the world at a cafe or at the park being good citizens. That makes everybody's life easier. And,
you know,
I always giggle. We talk about the human animal Bond Research Institute, right? HABRI.
Yeah.
And they talk all the time about, oh, it lowers your blood pressure and it makes your heart better. And I'm like, only if you're not screaming like a lunatic because your dog is just being a jerk.
Right.
That's not so good right. for your blood pressure.
Right. Last night I went to the training class and then I went over to a place in Milwaukee called the Art Bar. And I met with a guy who bought a puppy from me and a friend of mine from the kennel club. And dogs are allowed in this bar. So it's dogs and it's beer and it's pizza. I mean, it's
Perfect.
All the things in Milwaukee that
Perfect.
You need, right?
Perfect.
So
it's all you need anywhere in the world, man.
Exactly. So we're sitting there. We've got the dog that I sold to this guy and she's wearing her little Carhartt vest and she's very cute and everybody comes over. And the guy who bought her, I think he's about 80. Like, he's elderly. He's not a young man, and he tells you that pretty willingly. And this other woman came over to the table and started to chat with us, and it turns out she knows the person who knows the other person. So it's 1 degree of separation. It's not 6 degrees of separation.
Yes, absolutely.
But dogs are such great social lubricants that it started a conversation. The lady came over, met the dog, started to talk. Oh, well, we go to the same birthday parties, and we do this. So it's actually pretty fun. If you have a dog that's social enough that they are appropriate to take to those kinds of settings, that you can go and it's comfortable and the dogs are happy to see other dogs. And she was sitting on a bar stool, happily drinking water out of her own glass. You know, it was pretty great.
That's fantastic. And, you know, we've talked a lot on this show about ways that you can socialize and raise your dog and do the things. Some dogs, just like some people, aren't social. So I think it's important to respect that.
Yes.
And are not appropriate for a social environment. But there's a lot of things that you can do as their owner to help them, starting with purchasing a dog from a good breeder who will have done a lot of work as a baby puppy. But then there's
genetically a good dog.
Genetics. So yes. It is both nature and nurture, you guys, just in case anybody was wondering. It is both of those things together. And you can do a lot of work with the work that you can put in, whether it's with a baby puppy, with a rescue dog, what have you. Okay. So responsible pet owners, prevention, training.
Nutrition,
socializing. What's our fifth one for our responsible pet owners?
Following the directions your veterinarian has given you.
Following anybody's directions.
Well, following directions of people that are knowledgeable.
Yes.
So, because I do see clients that have so many sources of information that they get confused.
Yes.
But if your veterinary technician says you should take this home and put this in your dog's ears twice a day, it really only works if you put it in the dog's ears twice a day. The medication does not work if it's sitting on the countertop. The preventives don't work if you don't give them. I'm constantly amazed by the number of people that I say, so do you have ear meds at home? And they go, yeah. Well, did you use them? And they go, well, no, because she doesn't really like it when I put ear meds into her ear. Well, this is not an option. If you have an ear infection, you need to have it treated. If you have flea and tick preventive, you need to give it. There is now there's a 12-month injectable flea and tick preventive, and there's a 12-month injectable heartworm preventive. They are not inexpensive, but if you have a compliance issue, if you're not good, your dog is not good about medications, these are options for you. So again, these are the preventive things. If I can keep your dog from having Lyme disease, anaplasmosis, or Ehrlichia, if I can keep your dog from having parvo or heartworm, if I can keep your dog healthy, I'm always happier. Do I like to take bladder stones out of dogs' bladders surgically? I love that surgery. But if you feed the right diet, so if you have a dog with a bladder stone, you feed the right diet, use the right medications, and you can dissolve the bladder stones, you know what? That's really cool. We can do things that don't require surgery.
Right.
But you have to be compliant. So if your veterinarian makes recommendations, don't Google it. Don't call your friends. Don't try to talk yourself out of doing
My vet said I should do this. What do you guys think?
Do what your vet says.
I see it literally every day on Facebook. Okay.
That's why I don't look at Facebook very often. Can't.
Just makes me crazy.
Or whatever social media outlet that you choose to use.
Exactly. Wherever you inhabit. I think it's really important that we celebrate our responsible pet owners, the people who do
absolutely our heroes.
They are our heroes. And I think that my focus isn't on the ones who aren't compliant. My focus is on the ones who are, because they're the ones who make everybody's life better, their dog's life better. They're the ones that have the low blood pressure from having a pet.
Right. But you are part of the healthcare team of your veterinarian. It's not just what happens one day a year when you go to the vet, or 2 days a year when you go to the vet. If you're not part of the healthcare team and you're not communicating what you need, you're not communicating a good history, you're not communicating what the symptoms are, if you're not doing those things and then you're not compliant, we can't make your pet better. So you have the option of being a great part of the healthcare team and truly improving your pet's health, longevity. You know, people that have their dogs at the right weight and they're fit and they're active and they're on their preventives.
Yep.
These are dogs that certainly are going to live a year to 2 years, maybe even longer than that, longer than they would. And I love it when I made a prediction to a client and said, well, I think you've got about this much time left. And they come in 2 years later and they're like, look at me. And I'm like,
nice.
You go, girl. I love being wrong.
Well, no, you don't. But in that instance.
I do love being wrong. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. So shout out. We give tremendous thanks for our responsible pet owners. Olga says hi. Hi, Olga.
Olga's 12. See what happens when you're 12 and you've had good health, good
sleep
dental
on the
care.
Couch.
Oh, the bed. Under the covers. Kidding?
All the stuff.
Yeah.
All the stuff. All right. So again, if anybody has any hesitation about any of our recommendations or missed them, nopethungryamerica.com will help you if you need help. So
yep. Donate if you can and ask for help if you need it.
Yep, 100%. All right. Thanks, everybody. Great to see you, Marty. Have a good night. Thanks. Finally, good night. You get to have dinner.
Yeah. All right. I didn't eat.
All right. Go eat. Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.